Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Radical Sun is one of the most compelling artists on the Australian cultural scene. He's the son of an Aboriginal woman and a Tonga man. He channels his experiences from his past into immense power and resolve, with his trademark sound pulsing with the urgency of hip-hop and emotionally charged soul. A festival favorite, Radical Sun has performed to standing ovations at Bluefest, St Kilda Festival, Vivid, the AFL Dreamtime 232 game, and the official Uncle Archie Roach Memorial in Melbourne and Sydney. A highly skilled concert artist with performances alongside classical ensembles and high-profile collaborations under his belt, Radical Sun's artistry also expands to film and television, with credits including Defining Moments, a six-part NITV documentary exploring life-defining experiences, and theatre work, including the lead role of I Am Eora at the 2012 Sydney Festival. Studying as a musician at the Eora Centre for Visual and Performing Arts in Redfern, as well as completing a Bachelor of Music from Newcastle Conservatorium, Radical Sun's creative prowess and steadfast substance is only matched by his otherworldly stage presence that repeatedly transfixes. And this fact is only set to heighten with the upcoming release of Bilambial, The Learning, and an upcoming performance as part of QPAC's Warriors concert for 2024's Clancestry Festival in Brisbane. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Radical Sun. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
I am in Sydney, Australia, and doing okay. It's winter here at the moment, which, you know, isn't too bad, 20 degrees Celsius.
Why the name Radical Sun? Why did you choose that stage name?
Just because I knew I was different in many ways. But yeah, in short answer, it's the point of difference.
Okay, let's rewind. At what age did you think, cool, you want to be in the music or entertainment world, creative world? And how did that journey progress to where we are currently?
Yeah, so I got into it at about 27 years of age. It was by accident. Wasn't a musician or interested in being a musician. But there was a community program being run in Redfern for the Aboriginal community, the community centre. And my partner at the time was going to participate, and I was kind of asked to join. And that's how my music started, and I was lucky enough that the facilitators of that program were professional musicians and producers, and they gave me an opportunity to record a body of work, which enabled me then to perform. They gave me good advice as well, you know, things like they didn't want me singing covers, and he wanted me to write my own songs and sing those, which I did. And they also wanted me to give up the drugs. The guys that I was working with had struggled in the music with heroin, and they'd lost friends to it, and they didn't want to work with anyone who was dabbling. So I also tried to give the perception that I had given up drugs, and but it definitely did slow me down.
Thank you for sharing this with the audience. You've had quite a challenging road and path. So you said that you'd given the perception that you had given up drugs. Had you not done it, or what do you mean by that?
No, not completely, not for a long time. So I was 21 when I was imprisoned for the first time. Never anything serious. I was just always smoking the marijuana, and I'd get drunk as well, you know. That was as far as I got in terms of getting high from an early age of, you know, 14. So I was becoming a teenager. And but when I got out of prison, I was using heroin by that stage. So that took a long time to break, even though I didn't use it every day. I'd still dabbled with it for the next 20 years.
Again, thank you so much for opening up and sharing. So, how did you actually eventually get off of it?
Bit by bit, trying, failing, trying and failing. Oftentimes in those moments when you're alone. So, for example, I was married and with my partner for 15 years, and she had no idea that I was using. Yeah. So I was able to function. I was able to use, but I would only use it when I was away from home, and I would never do it around people that I was professional with.
I'm sure your story and journey and opening up is helping a lot of people and a lot of listeners. So, like I said previously, thank you. So, when eventually or how long ago did you actually stop?
Oh, geez. I would say, like like I said, when I was with my wife for 15 years, and you know, and there was periods of time when I wouldn't have anything for a couple of years or so. But when I did get divorced, it did send me back down that track for a little bit. And it just seems to be when I'm, I know, kind of down and out, I seem to go down that path.
Let's focus on unity and the lightness and brightness of a light path. And let's get back to the music. So, when you did that music course or that music workshop, why did they tell you not to do cover versions?
The music producers that were facilitating, they took a liking to me right away, and I didn't actually participate in the program. They actually took me to their own personal studio where they did their day job, which was producing, you know, jingles and other albums for other musicians. I think the reason why they didn't want me doing covers because there's two different types of singers. One, a person that just sings songs that other people wrote, and then
Yeah.
there's the other that write their own.
From 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Let's unpack your creative brain.
Yeah, usually it is just being out in public. I could, when I first started, I didn't have a license to drive a vehicle, so I was always using public transport, and I always had a pad, a little notepad in my pocket and a pen, because by then I knew I was writing as well. And things would just come to me, and I'd just write down lines which could be flushed out if they were, you know, strong enough ideas.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's not different in that, you know. Now, of course, I'm driving, and but still, you know, when those thoughts and those ideas they come, I now don't use the pad and pen either. I use the iPhone and hit the record button, and I get to sing the melody quite often. Back when I'd started, I'd look at this notepad that had, you know, words written down, and I had no way, I could not remember how I sung that song.
Yeah.
But of course, now with the phones, you can hear the melody.
Let's unpack the latest album that's come out this month. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, it's called Bilambio, which is the learning. And it's an album for me. So my heritage on my mother's side is an Aboriginal woman. My father came from Tonga, and you know, there's always been a little bit of a challenge with our identity in terms of culture. You know, I also moved around a lot as well. So the different towns, you know, we're here in Australia, but You could go to a different state and the accent is slightly different, and or even just within the same city of Sydney, you could go to a different suburb and you can find different pockets of people that are just completely different in terms of what they wear, what they dress, what they do, what their values are. And I was ever kind of adapting to whoever I was around, some like a chameleon somewhat. The first time I've ever said that, but that's kind of what it's like, just changing to the environment. And the music has done the same. I don't play music. I don't, can't play any musical instruments. So I just write those words. And so from the words off the paper, the people that I was working with, they played their music, and I would just sing to it. And I've been able to do a few songs, a few different styles over the years, just by working with different people.
Any favorite songs or highlights of the album that you can tell us about?
Yeah, this album I do like Bilambio, The Learning. I do like the single that's it's called Rainbow Dreaming, Little
Yeah.
Wonderbar. There's quite, actually a few songs on this piece that I appreciate. One of the things I like about being in the music and creating these pieces is it's evidence to me that I have improved in at least one area of my life.
Fantastic news regarding the improvement. So, how do you note that you have improved?
Yeah, so stylistically, I've been able to adapt to many different styles, and also I know that I'm a stronger singer now than I first from when I first started. That's partly because and I went on from TAFE when I first started to when I was in my mid 40s. I completed a music degree where I did a major in voice. So I had some training as well, and I've continued to get training to improve as well. And I really am noticing it, and others are as well. Yeah, I also like that I don't seem to be as angry in my songs now as when I first started as well, and that's just a sign of maturity, I guess.
That is really good news. It's always good to release anger and let it go. But why do you think you were angry?
For a number of reasons, like I really do believe that we kind of need to be a psychologist to be able to really break it down accurately. Like most people, I can just repeat phrases of things I've told myself or what other people have told me and which I've believed. But why, to really dig deep into why was this young man angry? Could be a number of reasons. Like there's probably accurate to say not a day goes by where I'm not cussing at myself, reminding myself, remembering things that I've done that just disturb me. And, I wish I had done differently.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm sure it applies to most people. It definitely applies to me that there are many choices I made in the past that I regret and wish I chose a different one and think about those quite regularly. But for you, what were those choices or what were those things you did or in what way?
I might be bipolar, is what I was saying to my
Okay.
partner this morning, because I'm like, I can be happy and upset from hour to hour. And I don't know if that's wrong. Like, have you ever heard the phrase, you beat yourself up too much,
Oh,
you can be
yes.
hard on too hard on yourself? Is that
Absolutely.
incorrect to do that? Is it, is it true that they say ignorance is bliss? Should we just go and ignore things so we can be pain-free? I'm not sure. Like, I certainly am unable to forgive and forget a lot of things, and maybe it's to my own detriment, but that's just the way it is for me.
I hear what you're saying, and I completely am on the same page. I believe, or I feel, like especially when I made what I perceive a mistake, because I can be very hard on myself, I put myself down. I don't think it's for our detriment, it just allows us to have an awareness. But also, there's that fine line of boundary between it being extremely abusive towards ourselves and just an awareness. Now, does writing music and creating music help you with this?
It does, especially when I first started. There was definitely what one would call a cathartic experience, but with the music industry or society as it is now, it just seems like there is too many restrictions. For example, arts is supposed to be a tool where one can express themselves.
Okay.
But we cannot just say anything. There's, what do we call it? There's a cancel culture.
Yes.
There's certain things you can't talk, certain language you can't use. But just say there's a certain truth that I wanted to speak, which involved, using a certain type of language or discussing certain topics. It just seems like you can't do it. And then the other thing is, I also noticed with the music, it just seems to be a very, I don't know, just the money side of it really is a bit of a soul killer for me as well. One thing I was saying today is it just seems to me you have to pay to play. So, for example, I'm releasing an album, right? So besides the time and energy that goes into making an album, the time and energy that's going to do to perform this album, the money it takes to pay people to perform, the money it takes to record and produce the album, and then we want people to push the album, so then you have to pay for a PR campaign, and you have to have a manager if you're not doing it yourself, and they're taking their cut, and of course the government takes their cut, and the cost just keeps going on. If you want a video clip, you have to, that cost as well, and I don't know, there's something about that that just sucks, man. And also, like, I don't know who decides what's cool or who decides to get to play which artists are going to get played, but I don't know. There's a flooding of artists out there, but you can, after all that time and journey and all that money, there's no guarantee you're even going to get played. And this message, even if I have an important message in my music, it may not even get out there because I believe that there is certainly some gatekeepers there as well in our way. And it's definitely a case of who you know.
Again, I hear what you're saying. I think there are gatekeepers in every single industry, in every single way. And there's politics and about who you know and what you know and so on and so forth. I know I experience it in my world and I try to move around it. But yeah, I understand and completely understand what you're getting at regarding this. So now let's focus on, what do you enjoy about performing live?
I perform, I like being able to travel. I do enjoy getting out on country, especially like I realized that my first performance after COVID, in the car driving 5 hours north and just through the countryside and onto country, which is for me on the Kamilaroi country, that was really special. Beautiful, beautiful country. That is an awesome experience. Very lucky to do that. I've had the fortune to meet a lot of our mob, a lot of our different Aboriginal peoples, different Aboriginal communities around Australia as well. I've had the opportunity to go overseas to a couple of places. So the travel side's been amazing. I now have asked my management, being realistic about the whole money thing, there's not going to be a lot of money in this here for me. I said, if you can just get me a gig once or twice a year to somewhere where I can go swimming, diving or scuba diving, that would be enough for me.
Well, let's put it out there and be positive that you're going to have lots of shows to perform at and lots of crowds to enjoy your music. I'm putting it out there and thinking of that for you. Now, what do you enjoy about swimming?
It's a hobby I've taken up later in life. Been doing it for about 5 years now. I played a lot of sports when I was young, so I damaged my knees and walking, running, those activities kind of caused me a little bit of grief. But in the water, you're weightless, it's free. It's connecting the country, gets you out in the elements. And yeah, it's just another world down there. Not a lot of talking goes on down there.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 years, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. But if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
So let me say a First Nations artist by the name of Archer Roach here. I don't even know the name of it, but it was about this young fellow from, he was stolen and he was taken over to America and he was charged with murder. So that song, I did like some Bob Marley songs, but I don't even remember the names of them. Not the common ones that you hear either. There was songs that I really used to like singing when I was a young teenager. And who else? Who have I been liking listening to? I've been liking a bit of that Charlie Pride, a couple of his songs.
Nice list. Some of those I have to research for myself and add to mine, so thank you. You've got the album coming out now in July, as we already discussed. What's up next? What's happening short-term, long-term? Tell us all the plans.
So this album, it's getting released in July. We have a show up in Brisbane. The first shows since the album launch. I do now have management and I do now have a booking agent. But in saying that, there hasn't been a lot of work booked for me. I am hoping though to have a big 2025. But so far this year is not going to be, there's not a lot on my plate.
Well, let's be positive and put out there that lots will be happening next year. Lots of shows, lots of things, lots of publicity, lots of music and lots of sharing. Let's put that out there and let's stand in that positivity.
I hope so. Like there's no guarantees, right? It's this music. I don't know what it's going to take, but I'm paying to play. Have you heard the new album? What are your thoughts about it?
Yes, I have listened to the album. I love the music. It's very healing, spiritual. It's got an energy feel about it that it's absolutely brilliant. I really enjoyed the music. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I do hope that it gets out there and I do hope I have opportunity to perform it.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
Well, first off, I hope I haven't turned anyone off, listening to my music by the way that I've been talking and the things that I've been saying. I do know that it's something that I need to work on, and just don't know how I'm going to do it because I keep isolating myself from trying to talk to others and getting better at it. But for me, I just want you to know I'm excited to be releasing this album, Bilambio, The Learning. So. My name is Dave, but the album is Radical Sun, so I'm very proud of this work.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.